Would you give any thought? I would not. I know it's been some of the conversation here.
No.
Would you give any thought into moving Aaron Judge in the lineup? Some people calling yesterday, I know, on social media, like flip-flop.
No.
Either Judge and Soto or move Judge down.
No. I wouldn't myself. No.
That's crazy talk. I mean, we're going to move the line. Now you're going to change the lineup? As potent a twosome or threesome, if you want to throw Stanton behind them,
mm-hmm.
as their age. And by the way, we didn't talk about it because we were off the air Friday. The lineup, the fact that Boone did keep Giancarlo, right? We didn't discuss that, did we?
We did not. No, it came out after. Yeah, because we were talking about
maybe putting the lefty in between him. I thought maybe Rizzo. There was some talk about Jazz, whatever. Anyway, I didn't think Boone had it in him, especially against the Dodgers with all their relievers, to go three to go Judge and Stanton back to back and have four out of the five bottom of the order hitters lefties.
So, I wouldn't mess around with Judge here, but you know, I mean, listen, this is a long time ago, but in 1996, the Yankees made the decision to sit down Tino Martinez. Now, Tino's not Judge,
right,
but he was their primary source of power that year, coming over from Seattle that season, first year with the Yankees. And, you know, he was a much better defensive player at first base than Cecil Fielder. Cecil Fielder played in Atlanta, and Tino sat. So when there was no DH. So, it's overthinking it. Now, you want to tell me, you know, maybe you reposition one or two guys, but you know, you roll with Soto 2 and Judge 3, and that's it.
John is in Philadelphia. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. I think you teed it up. Great show, as always. I agree. I think you leave the lineup pretty much as is. But I would consider, I think you got to get Wells out of there. That guy is 4 for 41. He struck out almost 50% of his at-bats. So I think maybe you put Trevino in there, throw it right in the bottom of that lineup. But I think numbers 5 through 9, there's four of them are lefties. So I think you got to do whatever you can to try to make it a little bit more difficult for Dave Roberts. I mean, Dave Roberts, when he uses his bullpen, the Yankees start hitting. The Yankees start hitting, it solves a lot of issues. But it makes it way too easy for them. And so I think that maybe you make one move here. 96, BT brought up how Paul O'Neill was taken out. Wade Boggs was taken out. They put Strawberry and Charlie Hayes. Yankees don't have that type of bench here.
No, that's true. You're right. I mean, Boggs actually sat down, too. You're right. Charlie Hayes, who called the final out of the World Series in 96? Charlie Hayes. Yeah, I get it. And Boggs was pretty much the primary third baseman all year. Yeah, I mean, it's totally different team with different depth and different heart and different character and different answers. And there's not as much as I think Boone was awful in game one, not incredibly good in game two either. He just doesn't have a lot of answers. Like, all right, you want to pinch hit late tonight? First of all, who do you want to pinch hit for? And there's a few. I'm not saying there's no candidates, but once you identify them, who are you going to pinch hit with? If you make the decision that you're not going to let Dominguez get a couple of swipes up there, who the hell are you sending up the head?
You know, Dominguez would be the only guy. Here's what I would say to our last caller and to anybody who thinks that they should have Trevino starting versus Austin Wells. I'm giving you a perspective of rooting against the Yankees, right? Or I'm not rooting for the Yankees. If Wells is up, I fear Austin Wells. When Trevino is up, I do not.
Me too.
And that's the problem. Just think of that. Like, even though Wells hasn't done anything, and I do feel like he's getting a little closer, all it takes is one swing of the bat, and Wells could do major damage. Whereas Trevino, it's like, what's he going to do? Poke a single to right field?
Well, that's what he did last time, and he got picked off at first base.
Right. Now, he could have done that in a big spot. But by the way, I will also say that we didn't really talk about this, where I think I got up to go to the bathroom real quick and then came back and saw that Trevino was pinch hitting. I was like, what?
Yeah, I know.
That's your best, like, that can't be your best option to pinch hit. And it wasn't. Dominguez would be your best option to pinch hit there. Now, you want to say that he's cold. I'd much rather have, if I'm the Yankees, Dominguez up than I would Trevino. I know you're wasting two players.
I can't disagree. And the other benefit, I just know they're not going to do it, so I'm not going to, you know, rant and rave about it. They probably should. But if you're going to do it, you know, get Dominguez an at-bat early in the series. Like, because if you do need to, if you want to go to him in game five or game six, like, the more he goes without playing and being, like, as having his heart rate adjust to this stage and seeing a few pitches, I mean, how productive is the young kid going to be?
I'll tell you, the game has changed, man. You referencing, you know, Torrey or the 96 Yanks, and I know why people are bringing them up, but just in general, the fact that we're watching postseason baseball where the starters aren't getting knocked out, they're getting taken out, and the bench is essentially useless.
Yeah, it really is. Benches stink.
You're not even using. Think about the bench of the Cole just referenced all those players, and now it's like, you want Cabrera to pinch hit?
No.
Probably not.
I mean, he'd probably be at the top of the list for me a little bit.
But like,
Grisham? No.
Yeah.
Trevino? No.
Dominguez is the best option, is only because we don't really know. Like, in the limited sample size we've seen,
I know
what he could be.
That's true.
It's certainly not a bench where, hey, in a big spot, you know, I need a right-handed bat, whether it's whoever, Charlie Hayes, whatever you want to, example you want to use, yeah, those type of bats, it's just not the same anymore.
Would you sit Verdugo tonight? Do you think there's any chance Verdugo sits?
And play Dominguez or Grisham?
Grisham.
I would not.
I wouldn't do that either.
I mean, I guess you could, I don't know the career numbers that Grisham has against Buehler.
I mean, how much can they be? He was in the American. Yeah, I don't think they're very high.
Well, Grisham was winning with the Padres, maybe against Buehler.
That's true.
Maybe, and I'm sure if he is in the lineup, it's going to be that because he's a better sample size, Grisham versus Buehler. But let's just say, like, offensively, there can't be a drop-off. It could only go up from what Verdugo is. Defensively, Grisham.
It wasn't good this year.
Yeah, at times this year, it's like he wasn't even trying.
He was lazy. He was disengaged, yeah, it seemed.
Yeah, now I do trust his bat, especially though he's been postseason proven.
Uh-huh.
I think that's an overall insignificant move.
Who did he take? He had a home run against the Dodgers, didn't he? Was that the Dodgers series?
Wait. Yeah, when everybody was calling it Sunday Night Baseball.
Yeah,
was
yeah, that right? Sunday night when Soto was hurt and the Yankees lost 2 out of 3, he hit that big home run. Who was that off of? I don't even remember.
I forget who was.
Either
off
way, I'd have to check his splits, but I'd be surprised. But, if he plays, but I feel like they're going to shake something a little bit up tonight.
Michael's in Cranford. What's up, Michael?
Hey, Mike.
I agree almost everything you guys are saying. On the Wells thing, I think what gets lost is that this guy's done such a good job with a mediocre pitching staff after Cole, when you really agree with that. And then I think to BT's point, with Cortez, the thing that gets so frustrating is I thought Boone managed the first two series really well. Everything he touched was gold against two mediocre teams. Then he was managing that game really well, which made the Cortez call so bad is that it was so obvious. These other callers that are going in and saying there was, you know, it was a coin toss, it was obvious that if you put Hill in, like A-Rod said, he's showing you a different direction on the arm, the way he comes in. If you lose there, okay, it worked in the other two series. It was an obvious pick. But the biggest issue, and you guys excoriated me when I called in July, is Judge can't hit under pressure. I called you guys, you took me to task, and I was upset, and now we're in the series, and A-Rod the other night talking about the expanded zone and everything. You know what, A-Rod? Come out and say, I went through the same thing, because this guy has A-Rod virus. It was the same thing, if you guys remember.
I do.
He couldn't hit BT in the postseason, and he had a look like, I just want to go sit down. Yeah. Judge has the same look.
No way. No way does he have that same look, Michael, and thank you for the call. No way.
I feel like, I don't feel the same look there. The swings are a little more similar for me. A-Rod was dropped to eighth in the batting order against the Tigers. And the difference is that Alex always had the insecurities of Jeter. And I think just other insecurities as a human being for some reason. I don't know why he's insecure. He's good looking. Right. He's multi-gazillion dollar superstar baseball player. And I feel like, I mean, he's still, even the way he kisses Jeter's ass on camera. I said this the other day. Oh, good point, Cap. Come on. They called him Cap like he's Mark Messier.
He's better than Jeter. Way better on TV, by the way.
Jeter's, you know what's funny, though?
Jeter hits nothing. And I love him.
I'm going to actually go the other way. Not totally. Jeter's better than I thought. I thought Derek on TV was a complete zero.
He says nothing.
I know, but he doesn't say it with emotion. But he hammered Boone after that game. He crushed him.
Okay.
But it's not presented in a way that you and I would present it, or maybe resonates with us. But he says more than I thought he would say, which is stunning.
That's fair, which
is stunning to me. But A-Rod's insecurities helped him unravel till he finally got through him. I don't think Judge has any of those. I just really think that it's morphed into... I know I keep saying this, and I know I'm not Ted Williams, but his mechanics are busted. His entire approach, he's jumpy, he's chasing 0-1, now he misses the fastball, now it's lights out.
And he's in his head, and that's how right. Well, that was one issue. But the core, or anybody else who says that it's a pressure thing, did his home run against Class A, is that not a pressure spot? Down two against the best closer in the game,
yep,
in game 3 of a series on the road. Like, that's a pressure spot, right?
That's why I don't really think it's that.
Okay, and the other example is, in the regular season, when you're chasing a home run record with all the eyes in the world on you, every at-bat that you take, whether it's on the road or at home, everybody on their feet, the cameras flashing, all those different things.
Yeah.
You don't think there's pressure in that? Self-induced pressure, like pressure as far as winning the game? Maybe not, but... that's even more pressure than postseason, because it's all about you. All the attention is about Judge. Will he hit a home run in this at-bat? Will he get 262? And he did. Like, that to me just shows that the pressure part of it doesn't add up. I don't think it's pressure that's failing Aaron Judge. I think it's a circumstance of a couple other things.
But I can't leave a little bit of the pressure out of the equation. Now, the pressure with the home run chase is different. The difference, though, for me, why I can't really equivocate the two is, yeah, sure, there's pressure. Is he going to get to 60? Going to get to 61? Going to get to 62? And we know that he did. But that is personal pressure. That is pressure and stress that's put upon you because of your absolute greatness. And most importantly, Sal, no repercussions of your legacy. If he finished at 59 and didn't get to 60, or finished at 60 and didn't, you know what I'm saying.
Still
and,
pressure, though.
Yeah, well, pressure, but not pressure that's going to define you, because you already hit more home runs than anybody in baseball, and we're presuming you're doing it clean, no PED, so you're already rarefied air. The pressure now is the names and the legacy and the place within the history of the Yankees, and we know all the names. And there was one name when he was in that batter's box trying to get number 60 or 61, and it was Roger Maris. Every time he steps up now, it's DiMaggio, it's Babe Ruth, it's Mickey Mantle, it's Derek Jeter, it's Yogi Berra, it's 27 championships, it's different.
I think it's less pressure, more frustration for Judge. All it takes is one to break that dam, and then everything else will be easy from there. It is WFAN's Yankees Game Day on BT and Sal, presented by TravelGuard.com.